How you feeling today, man? Well, I send you greetings from Norwich. It's still there. We're still there. God has been doing great things there. But I was only given 15 minutes today. Normally I give a slideshow of what God is doing. But Mike had sent me a text and he said, Marvin, you got 15 minutes. And you've got to talk about Christmas. And we're going to put that in the communion. And I'm like, okay, so I've got to talk about Christmas, which means the birth of Christ, but I also need to talk about the death of Christ and put that in 15 minutes. No pressure. Well, turn to Mark 14. And the title of my little communion, sermonette, whatever you want to call it, is The King That Never Grew Up. And as we see, the kids did a phenomenal job, and the scripture that I want to open us up with today is in Matthew 2, talking about the birth of Christ. It says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and bowed down. These are the magi, the wise men that we saw. The gifts are still on the stage. And it says, then they opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It's always interesting when you look at gold. Gold means royalty. Incense is, frankincense is a kind of fragrance that they used to use in the inner sanctuary, in the temple, and the tent of meeting, going all the way back to Moses. And the great thing about this is the myrrh is always interesting because myrrh is actually a fragrance that you actually use to actually wrap the body, the dead body, of somebody who has passed away. Even actually Jesus, if you read later on, after his death, they actually wrap his body in incense and myrrh, and they wrap it. So it's always kind of interesting that at a birth, should be a celebration, somebody would bring a gift of death. It's always amazing to me. I don't know, it's like somebody coming to your hospital room dressed in black and a burial wreath. And you'd be like, this is not funny. But this signifies, you know, what the progression of Jesus' life. But I'm not going to talk about that today. One of the things I want to talk about with Jesus is his dependency on the Father. In John 15:19-20, it says, Jesus gave them this answer, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Jesus, he's a grown man here, and he says that I cannot do nothing without the Father. Now, I don't know about you, as I get older, I feel I'm more equipped. I'm educated. I'm older now. I've got responsibilities. And somehow, as we get older, we rely less on God. But that wasn't the case with Jesus. He's a full-grown man and says, I cannot do nothing without God. And a lot of times, our involvement of God in our lives is reflected by how prayerful we are. How we pray as we go. Because I cannot even have this conversation without God. I cannot walk down this road without God. I cannot jump in my car without God. Because if I really understand, I can do nothing without God. But we're also called to be childlike too. Interesting scripture here. We know this. In Matthew 18 it says, and he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles themselves like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. No matter how old we get, we should never lose our childlikeness. It doesn't give us a license to be childish. But we need to be childlike. But sometimes we get that all muddled up. The reason why I'm talking today. I have my moments of childishness. Don't I, honey? But there's also a couple of scriptures here. It's interesting. There's only actually three scriptures that talk about Abba in the whole of the New Testament. And anybody knows what Abba mean in Hebrew? What does it mean? Dada. In this passage, it's showing to us as Christians, it says, the spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you will live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you see brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. So even as grown-ups, as disciples, the Spirit works in us and continues to change us, and sometimes turning back the clock because some of us are too adult. We have lost our childlikeness. And the Holy Spirit that God has poured into us reminds us of what it's like and transforms us into that childlikeness again. The other passage is here in Galatians 4. It says, because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Dada. Everyone say Dada. It's kind of awkward, isn't it? Especially if you're a man like me, 6'3".
Dada. Dada.
But when you think of how old is someone, I have to think back a few years, and I think of when was the time when my kids said, Dada? 18 months? 2 years old? Can any of the sisters help me out here? Am I about right? A year, maybe? Yeah? Someone? Or year then? So even as adults, in our hearts, we should always have this kind of dependency, okay? This kind of mindset that God is our dada and we have this 1 or 2 year old heart. Doesn't matter if you're, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, we have this 2 year old heart. Dada. I did a little comparison here. I like my words. This is not a 70s reunion of ABBA, Some of you, Waterloo! Da 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 da. No, 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 no. Pray for me. I was just thinking, what is this childlike attitude like? And I put down some of these kind of mannerisms. And on the other way, as we get older, we talk about the past more than we do the future. Our dreams are gone, and we're like, yeah, 20 years ago, this is what I did. I was great for Jesus.
You become too serious.
Instead of rebounding, I remember one story, my first son's actually here. I remember, when he was a lot younger, he had a seizure, and it was very traumatic for me and my wife. He probably can't remember. He was only about 2 years old, 2 or 3 years old. And it only went on for maybe just a few seconds. And actually, I think my wife was in the other room, and I screamed out because I didn't know what to do. I was just like, when you see your son go into a seizure, like head roll back, eyes and everything, and start shaking, you just don't know what to do. And we obviously had the emergency services come. They obviously taken all his vitals. We had to go down to the follow the ambulance and everything, and went down to the hospital. It was an all-night ordeal, tests and everything. And it was just the following day, my son felt better. He was running around laughing, and me and my wife were like, I'm exhausted. and asked him, I think they even had a worse attitude, to see him just bouncing around. I said, can't you realize what we've gone through? Well, that's what children do. They rebound so quickly. We drag hurts and resentment and baggage around with us forever.
I think it's stuck. Can you open the next one? Just scroll down. It's stuck. Well, let me just go through them. I got a list. But the other ones are where we got baggage, risk taker, and it's just the opposite of instead of being risk taken, we're calculated. Instead of being wondrous and full of miracles, we're predictable. And instead of growth and humility, we're stagnant, and it's just the same. It's just the same as we were that month and the month before and the year before, you know? And I think this is very important. Even as adults, we've got to protect our hearts in what we take in. We should always, a lot of times we tell our son, don't watch this. But that's a child. Should I really watch this? If I'm telling my children not to listen to this, should I listen to this as a child of God? Well, now why don't you leave the room while I take in something adult? Things that make you go, Next one. This is what, oh, no. Why not and what if? As we get older, we make things very complicated, don't we? Things are not simple anymore. We just can't get up and get things done, as they say in Texas. We don't live for today. We're planning for tomorrow, our retirement, and our children's college, and this and that and this. But as our lives, months and years just roll by, and we're stagnant in the Lord. And finally, other thinking is doing nothing by myself. I can do nothing without God. And in the other category, I do most things without God. Pretty interesting, huh? But it's some good news. We are dearly loved children. The imitators of God, therefore, is dearly loved children. And this is hard for me, growing up where, quite frankly, you don't feel dearly loved. I always share this. The only times when I remember my dad touching me was when he was beating me. That's tough. When you don't grow up in a very loving community, it can warp. When you say, oh, God is a loving father, that's a stretch. You know? But also, if we believe that we're dearly loved children of God, then we can live a life of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Well, let's jump to Mark 14. Because when we're loved children, we feel that we can do anything. We can go through any situation. And Jesus, as a child of God, when he was facing the cross, he knew as long as he was loved by his Father, he could go through anything. A lot of things that I did as a child, playing out the anger, even going into just a lot of dysfunctional thinking, the alcoholism, the wild living, I believe from my own self, is because I wasn't loved. And then when I started to understand the love of the Father, the pure love of the Father, then I was able to live the kind of life that God wanted us to live. Now, if I can feel that love, and I can understand that love coming from so much dysfunction, there's hope for you. There's hope for you. Regardless of what your mom or dad didn't do, if you understand that you're dearly loved children of God, you can raise above the ashes of dysfunction and do great things for God. Amen? And I'm a living testimony of that. Well, let's look at Jesus, shall we? In Mark 14, I'll end with this. In Mark 14, in verse 36, it says they went to a place called Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter and James and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with the sorrow to the point of death." He said to them, "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Even in the death, facing death, a full-grown adult, he said, "Abba." He was the king that never grew up. He was a baby when he was born, and he was a baby when he died. He never forgot Dada. And be honest with you, some of our problems is that we've grown up. Some of us have got to turn the clocks back in our hearts. I'm not telling you to be childish, but childlike, like our Savior Jesus Christ. So let us pray and remember our Abba Father. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much just for this time. Thank you so much that we have Jesus. What an example. That a man with all his maturity, his wisdom, his love, his compassion, his passion, he never lost his place with you. You were always Abba. You were always Dada. Even in his time of need, when he was screaming out to you for faith and understanding, he said, "Dada." God, let us never forget where we need to be in our hearts. God, thank you so much for your son. Thank you so much for his example. And I just really pray that times like this will help us to have the mindset and the heart that will transform our lives to the glory of you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.